to the book of John, John chapter 16. We, of course, are continuing a sermon series in the book of John. Last week, again, we preached on John chapter 14 and John chapter 15 and done that for 2 weeks. And again, mentioning about how Jesus speaks about the Holy Spirit. So today, of course, in John chapter 16, he continues to privately teach his disciples about the Holy Spirit. May I say that as we preach through this, especially this particular passage, the Spirit, today there's a great number, of course, confusion and controversy existing upon the teaching of the Holy Spirit. And not that I understand it fully, not that I have received it all, but it's very difficult and very confusing again. The topic of the Holy Spirit conveys this mysticism, if you may, perspective. And mysticism has to deal with something that we cannot fully grasp with our five senses. We say many things about it, but it's very difficult. We're able to grasp, for example, mentioned last week, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We can grasp and understand God the Father because we ourselves have a heavenly Father. We can grasp the Son of God, that is Jesus Christ, because we can historically trace his humanity. That is, God came down to us in the form of a human being. This we can understand. However, when we go blank, if you may, when we try to understand the Holy Spirit, we can use symbols possibly, like a dove, fire, water, wind. But still, there's something hard to understand, to grasp when it comes to wind. Can't fully grasp that. So hence we have this mystical perspective of the Spirit. In addition, of course, with the controversy and many of the difficulties that we have, about the conflict with the Holy Spirit. There are differences that divide even those within the circles of Christianity. We have the charismatics or Pentecostals who focus on the works and the power of the Holy Spirit. We have evangelicals. That's, of course, the root word coming from evangelizing the gospel of Jesus Christ. They place more of the focus or the emphasis that the Holy Spirit will not contradict that of Jesus and what he did on the cross, which is, of course, salvation. If you want to confess, I want to say, in regards to the Holy Spirit, in regards to these people, that I've come to a conviction, if you may, that sometimes even I have overemphasized, or even I have forced, if you may, or even I have come sounding threatening. Some days I may sound evangelical. Some days I may sound charismatic. Today I just want to take a few minutes and read the passage. Just simply just exposit. Allow the passage to expose itself for what it says. John 6. By asking challenging yet poignant questions, moving questions or stimulating. Read verses, it says on the 16. John chapter 16. Rise. Let's hear God. All this I have told you so that you will not fall away. They put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they are offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father only. I told you this so that when the time comes, you will remember that I warned you about them. I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you. But now, going to him who sent me, none of you asked me, where are you going? Rather, you are filled with grief and sadness. grief because I have said these things. But truly, but very truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the advocate, the helper, the counselor, will not come to you. If I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you could see me no longer. And about judgment, the prince of this world now stands. I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes to you into all truth, he will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. Tell you, he will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive it. Make known. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive. Be seated. We'll talk about three different perspectives, if you may. Things to shed light upon this particular passage, John chapter 6, in reference, of course, to the Holy Spirit. First thing is Jesus mentions the disciples will be killed. We'll talk about this. Second thing is Jesus tells them that they will need some help, his counselor, an advocate, comforter, in different versions as you can. You'll need some sort of help during this difficulty. That's the Holy Spirit. The third thing is Jesus teaches more about the works. A few more things, much more symbolic. The first thing is Jesus mentions they will be killed or martyred. The word here, of course, what they're talking about is dying for what you believe. That's to be martyred. Jesus mentions here that they're going to die for what they believe. Hard for us as we read verse 1 through 4 again, and it says, all this I have told you so that you will not fall away. This is all. They will put you out in the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they are offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known Father, me. I've told you this so that when their time comes, you will not warn about them. It was 12 disciples. He doesn't die because he was a martyr for what he did. Then he's the one who betrayed Jesus. So 11 disciples. John writes the book of Revelation, described by God. He dies of an old age. He doesn't die as a martyr. But the other 10 all die for what they did. Martyr. Stone. Beheaded. Turned upside down. Just many things that are just absolute atrocious to even hear. In the name of Jesus. Not because they committed a crime. But Andrew was crucified, Bartholomew beheaded, or some people have him whipped to death and crucified and he was turned upside down. James the Greater beheaded. Some have him now that he was stabbed with a sword. This is the way they were done. Believe in Jesus. If you do, I'm going to stab you with this sword. If you believe in Jesus, I'm going to behead you. James the Lesser, stoned and beaten with clubs. Dude, beaten to death with a club. Because he said he believed. So forth and so forth. Being stoned, being headed, crucified, upside down, crucified. Simon, crucified. Upside down, Matthew, David, Thomas, stabbed with a spear. All 10 of them killed. Jesus is talking to them. The day before, he's about to be betrayed. He talks to the 12 and says, I just want to let you know. I'm leaving. I'm going to die on the cross. They don't know this. I'm going to leave. I must give you something. Must give you myself. when we look at this, Jesus mentions that they're being killed. We're just taking the passage and saying, here's what John 16 says. Then we apply this to our lives and go, what? Suppose I'm not saved. Be martyred. That's not, again, remember, I'm talking about a bunch of different work. We'll work in it. But in this passage, Jesus is warning them, us. And because they will die a painful death following Jesus Christ, they will need the Holy Spirit. Oh, they will need Him to give them the strength to spread Jesus. Most of us, all of us, to be emotional. We live in a life of deserving of frustration. It's a normal understanding of it. God says, I have. Every single one of us. The Holy Spirit works in each and every. The second thing, Jesus tells them that they will need some help. They will need this during this difficulty. This is kind of hard for us to grasp. This is hard for us to understand. This passage right here, absolutely, to me, is absolutely 16, verse 7. This is hard to grasp because the way we look at it is an if-then statement. If you do this, then Jesus, if Jesus dies, then the Holy Spirit will come. This is not an if-then statement. This is a faith statement. Let me explain. This is kind of hard to understand. Jesus is saying, if, then. No, he's saying, this is all about faith. I am not going anywhere. I'm not leaving. I'm the right hand of God. I don't understand it. Sometimes the best way to do this is to find some sort of illustration about how this makes sense. So when I was driving this morning, I'm praying, Lord, I don't know how to explain that. So I had this illustration that when I was driving a particular movie, it's called Facing the Giants. It's a Christian movie. It's the same guy who wrote many of the other Christian movies that we've all seen. And in Facing the Giants, this young boy has to kick a field goal. Sort of a scrawny kid. He's never hit this distance, let alone he's way over here. It's further than he can even imagine. So he looks for his father because his father, his physical father, is on a wheelchair, and he always gives him that strength to kick it further. So he's nervous, and the boy's just sitting there, and the father comes all the way around to the goalpost. And the father stands there with the wheelchair, and the boy kind of smiles. And then the father, who's in a wheelchair, stands up. The boy's like, I can do this. And he, of course, kicks it. I can't remember what happened in the movie. But the point in that is we want right here, right now. The Holy Spirit is Jesus. But he says, here's what he's saying to you. I must physically leave. I must physically leave so that you may have faith in me. Because then you'll understand this chapter talks about faith. Faith is what? Faith is the substance hoped for and the evidence not seen. Son, you can kick that field goal. You can do it. I don't have to stand underneath the goalpost. That's what the Holy Spirit is here for. He's saying this, not an if-then statement. He's saying, I must leave. Otherwise, you would physically look at me as a crutch. If Jesus Christ was 2,000, 13 years old, 9 months and 15 days, that would be today. They would go, man, that's awesome. I told you, I believe. I told you he was in Washington, D.C. back then. He's there right now. He's coming over. His physical body's moving around. We'd all say, yeah, we believe. No, we wouldn't. See, our problem with us is we want to see to believe. Jesus is here, so I must leave. If I don't leave, some of you guys still won't believe. Believing sometimes, not seeing. In 1996, 25 years old, I prayed, thank you, Lord, for giving me a child. This over and over again. How'd you? Well, it's easy for you to say now, Pastor, right? I say in faith today, when I'm driving, thank you, Lord, protecting kites and the leaves, dark realm. What are you talking about? Dark realm. There's many people who've come to me and said, Pastor Rick, I dream in the presence of darkness. I sleep. Sometimes I'm scared. I believe they do visit. It's scary. It's real. You may not see it, but it's real. What I say in faith. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Future, dark realm tries to attack. Pastor's kids, thank you. It's faith. Faith is substance, hope for, and evidence not seen. I can't see that. Some people can. Boy's father, who stood up on the wheelchair, basically standing there for his son. Jesus hasn't left. He's only left physically. You call him Jesus, you think he has white, long hair, and you think he has blue eyes. I don't know how you see him, but physically, he hasn't left. That's faith. Call the father. So when we look at this passage, Jesus tells them what they will need some help during this day. Now going back to the passage, he's telling, look, you're going to die. Just to let you know. And in the synagogues, they're going to say it in the name of Jesus. Or they're going to say, we're going to kill you in the name of God. This has been happening all throughout. The Crusaders killed a lot of people who weren't Christians. The Nazis killed millions of people. Talking about God with us on their belts. Look it up. Nazis had on their belt, God with us. We're going to kill all the people around the world because you guys aren't with God. We're with God. You're going to die for God's name for some of us. You're not us. That's fine. I'm not saying you're going to be martyred. But I'm saying in this passage, Jesus talks to 12. And his whole point is, listen to what he says. Open with me in the Bible and look what he's saying here. Follow the passage, though. Not what I'm trying to convey about, man, you talked about darkness. Man, I want to know about that. No, I'm talking about the passage. He says, all this I have told you. What is all this? What is he referring to? Turn back to chapter 15, verse 6. When the advocate comes, when the counselor comes, when the help comes, when the Holy Spirit comes, and he's already come, for us, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out of the Father, he will testify about Jesus. And you also must testify. The beginning. One of our main, in this passage, one of our primary things to do is to talk about who Jesus is and what he's done on the cross. That's what he's telling them. You 12 or you 10 will die. Wanted to know, so you're going to die, but the only way you're going to die in my name is you must be filled, you must have the Holy Spirit presence in you. You must have me still with you. I will still be with you. Physically, I must leave so that you may have faith. Faith is hopeful. So, what does he testify? What is this testimony? So testify means to declare or give evidence as a witness. Come to me and say, Pastor, I don't know how to preach Jesus. I don't know how to testify. What has God done for you in your life? Here's my testimony. My name is Richard Tice Del Rosario. God did this to me. My mother died. He gave me some sort of strength to be strong for my family. I'm giving you, bearing you witness as a testimony what God did for me. Testimony. God's name in there. Real, God has helped you. You don't have to use Christianese. You don't have to use your great, wonderful understanding of a theological background. You don't have to use. Living. We're all borrowed. We're all on borrowed time. God has wants to know here. Holy Spirit, it's you. He will empower you. He will strengthen you. He will enable you. He will intercede for you. Those are the words we talked about last week. So we move to the last one, of course, which is Jesus teaches more about the works of the Holy Spirit. Here, he's going to talk about some. So it's like he's jumping around. This is like so difficult. It's like, hey, Pastor, I just want some sort of 3-point sermon. I'm just going to expose it for what it is. You're going to die. You need to talk about Jesus. The only way you're going to do that is the Holy Spirit, who is me. Sounds so simple. Sounds so easy. Doing that within our lives as well. Who? You go out, be empowered, talk about the only way to be saved. The problem with us is self. You have to come out, plant a seed. We come out. Got to. Somebody say, look, I'm seeing, I am really seeing presence around. Never seen God. He's not around with me. I don't like him anymore. Not even helping me. What's the purpose? I've never seen him. I've seen evil. Evil's done to me much. They said it. I looked at them and said, easy for me to argue. Long story short, it wasn't me. The Holy Spirit. The thing we think, we will. We will say. God said, just go out there, try to see. Watch me work. Say, no, God. Do it. They're not going to listen. Give a great illustration about the football thing. I'm not going to do that for now. Holy Spirit working. Follow with me as it says here in chapter 9, or verse 9. 8. When the Holy Spirit comes, He will prove the world. He was wrong about sin. This is the one thing that we talked about. If you look at the chart up here, Fiction, John 16:8. I know you can't see that very much, but I'll just read through it. There's so many passages about the Holy Spirit and how He works. We're just talking about one passage right now. We're talking about conviction. We're talking about maybe guiding and witnessing. He does so many things. The only thing they're talking about in John 16:8-11 now is conviction. He convicts the world. What about the guy in Amazon? After who's never heard Jesus. The Holy Spirit is everywhere. I don't believe that. God's conviction. Help me what this is saying. The Holy Spirit will convict the world. Well, Titus and Elise, the Holy Spirit's going to work with him. I've got to be the pastor. I've got to let them be PKs. I've got to protect the church. I've got to make sure no one hurts them. Holy Spirit, trust me. Wasn't John the Baptist? In the womb, John the Baptist kid. In the womb. Believe that? It says. I'm trying to read the Bible and trying to believe what it says. Okay, man. The Holy Spirit will convict the world. Somebody dies, somebody murders somebody, guarantee you, the Holy Spirit's going to convict that person. They know. Just tell them. I must be the one. Must talk about it. The only way to save. The only way to save. The Holy Spirit will not contradict you. Convicts, teaches, but a bunch of passages here, of course, had that from last week, but I didn't. He dwells, he guides, he intercedes, he sanctifies, he witnesses, he builds. These are all a bunch of things. You could preach one sermon on each one of those topics. The Holy Spirit. He convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. I could preach a whole sermon just on those three. That's powerful right there. Convicts the world of sin. They know. Righteousness. Look what he says here in verse 9. About sin, because people do not believe. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father. I don't understand that, Pastor. Read that to me again. He convicts us in three ways. You say sin, righteousness, and judgment. Tell me what that 10 means about righteousness. He says about sin, because people do not believe in me. Doing wrong, of course. About righteousness, because I'm going to the Father where you can see me. Longer. This is so. Reading the Bible is so in depth. You've got to understand what they were saying about him. People were saying that, isn't he from the power of Beelzebub? Isn't he the power from, in other words, Satan? No. He's of righteousness. He says, the Holy Spirit will convict all the world and say, you know what? Is that Jesus Christ? He was of righteousness. He wasn't from Beelzebub. He wasn't. Made a mistake. 7 billion people in the world? We're all going to come down where every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. There are going to be billions of people going, man, I made a mistake. Didn't believe in Jesus. He will be. The Holy Spirit will be. As you're speaking, as you're listening now, he's talking to you right now. Speaking through your mind and through your feet, like, that's weird. But he knows your thoughts right now. 39, he knows your thoughts before you even said it. I'm telling you, he's a God that's absolutely powerful. Samantha and Jade, he knows exactly what you're doing. The Holy Spirit is actually working in them right now. Why not? The Holy Spirit will convert the world. That is everybody in it. He hasn't left. He's been standing like in a wheelchair underneath the goalpost and goes, isn't moving. He says, you can do this. Touch that. Holy Spirit hasn't left yet. Here. Within you. There. That's how imperative. Third person. Like so. Understand. Yes. He will empower you through difficult times. Wow, yeah, go back to those dreams, Pastor. I've been going through a lot of difficult stuff. Like, that's not what the sermon is. He will. Eh? Go read up in John 14, 12, Romans 8, 13, Galatians 5, 7, 8, 22, and 23. I want to know in the spirit realm. Oh, fascinating. Sometimes there's so much about the Holy Spirit. It's so easy for the enemy to attack. That's the Spirit. So, absolutely. It's so important for us. Let me close with this. We do need to recognize God the Father, God the Son, God the Father's Father. Understand Jesus as the one who died on the cross. Some people oppress. We understand. We must understand God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit are absolutely not a sermon on the Trinity. But I'm telling you, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Absolutely. Critical, because He hasn't left. Since He's spoken. You put it this way, prepositions are pretty important. It is at, with, on, podium, in the podium, on beside the podium. Those are important things. God the Father is for us. God the Son is Jesus Christ. With us. God the Holy Spirit is in us. Oh, amen? Oh my goodness, if you knew who you're dealing with. Fact is, for each and every single one of us. Pastor Elvin was praying, there's a cultivating in my spirit. Correction or even a cultivating. God is for us. Israelites, I'm for you guys, I'm not against you. I'm trying to help you get out of the desert. Jesus is with us. When He was with us, He said, you don't believe, I will come in the flesh. I'm with you now. The Holy Spirit is in us. Absolutely. Ironically, this sermon started out, of course, between the divide between sort of the charismatics with evangelicals here. Only divide between man. The 22,000 different denominations, different religions, or not, I'm sorry, under Christianity. Don't advocate of any besides Christianity. But all those 22 denominations, it's man. God of confusion. This sermon actually supports both. The Holy Spirit will never contradict the cross. In this passage, John chapter 16, the Holy Spirit will empower us in many ways. Let's get through here. Talk about Jesus. Go through difficulty. Brian's going to sing a song and praise and worship as they come up. I'm going to read some of the lyrics. They're actually going to sing something else, but I came up this morning and said, you know what, Brian, can I ask a favor from you? Can you change the altar call? Obviously, now late notice is never easy. Listen to the lyric. Because it's what I believe, what I feel, what I sense. Saying, Pastor, get up. In a nice way. Let me work with you. See, God said, come, Pastor. Listen to the, there's nothing there. Presence. I've tasted and I've seen the sweetest of loves. Where my heart comes free and my shame is undone. Presence, Lord. Presence. And then the next lyric says, Holy Spirit, you. Holy Spirit, come flood this place. And fill the atmosphere. Your glory. Your glory, God. Your glory is what our hearts long for. This is what you desire. All desire this. Just don't know. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Let us become your presence. Let us experience the glory.
Nothing worth more that will ever come close, nothing can compare to our living hope. Your presence. There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence. I've tasted and seen all the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is up. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome to come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence.
Can we all rise?
tasted and seen all the sweetest of loves. My heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord, with my joy. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long to be. Your